o'clock. Let's see if we can't have a good time tonight on a Friday. Hello, friends. Hop on, refresh that page. There we go. Good. We're ready to go live in 10 seconds. We got the countdown going. TGIF. Thank God. It's Friday. 2 seconds. Welcome. Let's roll that intro. Yes, yes. We are live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Church Prep with MWD. Friday drumroll. I am Mark W. Douglas. Let's start things off with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Happy Friday drum roll. We're drum rolling to get you ready for church. That's what Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays drum rolls are. It's now time to introduce the Song of the Week's Biblical Connection, the connections of the Bible. And of course, this week's Song of the Week is entitled The Lord's Prayer. And as a reminder, we are going to talk about it tonight. So here we go. It's time to talk about the Lord's Prayer and everything about it that involves the Bible. Are you ready? You ready? Just strap in. I've got some things ready to go. I'm going to get right to it here because we got lots of Bible verses to talk about. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus talking. Red letters, baby. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. And I just said it. I just said the Lord's Prayer. So I'm not going to repeat it, but I do want to say the last line there. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That next line, for thine is the kingdom, that is an add-on. That is not part of the Lord's Prayer officially. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is officially not so, right? It's not in the scripture, okay? Just FYI. Back to Matthew 6, verse 14, the very next verse after he finishes the prayer. But deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin. And that is the end of that. Now it's time to break down the scripture, break down that actual prayer. We're going to break it down one little piece at a time, right? Matthew 6, just a couple verses later, verses 24. So remember what we said. We're going to keep going back and forth, actually. It's just this. We've got to remember. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? So we are calling him our master, right? And what did I say on Wednesday? No man can serve two masters. So now we're going to go to the Bible references. Again, a couple verses just after he said the prayer. Matthew 6, 24. No one can serve two masters. This is Jesus talking. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Right? You cannot serve both God and money, for example. So I was thinking about the word despise, right? Well, let's just break that down. What if, let's just say the what if a person, I'm not saying it's you, what if a person did love money and that was their master? How would they go about despising God, right? You cannot serve both God and money. So those are the two examples he gave. How would you go about despising? Well, you could pretend that money wasn't your master and that God was your master. You could pretend, couldn't you? All the while keeping up appearances, right? Keeping up appearances. There's a lot of, there's even a little, I think there's an English show called Keeping Up Appearances. Very funny. My Sergeant Major, it's time to bring up Sergeant Major. You know, as I talk, I'm coming up with these amazing stories. I was in JROTC, Sergeant Major Howie. What a man. What an amazing man. I did 4 years of JROTC at Red Bank. And he taught me so many little things. And here we go, man. He said, a person can put on an act for 1 hour a week. Couldn't they? And I don't even remember the context, but I remember him asking me that question. And I thought, yeah, I guess. And he goes, if they could put on a face and an act for 1 hour a week, could they do it for 2 hours a week? I remember thinking, yeah, I guess they could do that. And then you just, your mind starts going, well, what about 3 and 4 and 5, right? Actually, how about any time you stepped out that door? Anytime you stepped out that door and you had to be face to face with company or some kind of, you know, outside company, not in your house, could you put on a face for all those hours and then come back home and be a second person? Yeah, sure could. Woo! Preaching in here tonight, right? And I'm just trying to think of how it might look for someone to despise this God, right? This God, God of the universe, Yahweh, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the many names of God. But then to keep up appearances and really be serving money. A lot to break down there, but thought I would start with that. Next verse. Let's go to, we're on the same spot here. Matthew 6, we just read verse 24. Let's skip to 26. Look at the birds of the air. I brought this up on Wednesday. They do not sow or reap or sow or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? It is such an interesting thing, isn't it? There are animals like a bear who will eat, gorge themselves with food before they go and hibernate. There are animals who go, I think there are animals who go and keep food, maybe. Maybe like an ant, you know, anyway. But the birds don't, do they? Very good example. Wow. So we have to have faith and trust him exactly the same way that a bird, right? That a bird has faith and trust in him. So let's go back to the verse again, because this is our model prayer. Okay, hallowed be thy name. So we got that part out. He's holy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. So I think that what I meant to just bring out to that part is simply that we are telling him that we trust him. Right? We are, okay, so here it is. Give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread and forgive us. Okay. And forgive us our trespasses, but give us our daily bread, right? Like manna, manna. Remember manna from heaven feeding the Israelites in the desert, I guess for 40 years, Correct me if I'm wrong on that. That was something that dissipated, so you couldn't hoard it and save it for a couple days down the line. You had to trust that God was going to bring out the manna every morning. Every morning, you had to go out and get that manna because you could not save it overnight. Did you know that part about the manna story? Yes. For some reason, it went bad. It went bad quickly, right? Like an apple on the shelf, but in this case, it went bad quick. Manna, this heavenly food. And I guess the next question is do we really trust and have faith in God to take care of us in that way, in that regard, in that manner? Are we really putting our faith in God to say, you know what? I am going to trust and have faith. We're in the West, right? So everything that we do is kind of like, it's a soft step. We don't have any really jagged edges that we need to work out. Unless you just don't have a family and you just have to start from scratch, which does happen with many people, right? Sometimes. Or maybe by your own volition, right? I just wanted to bring that out. So we give us our daily bread. Do we really trust that God is going to feed us just like he takes care of the birds? Or are we not living by faith at all? Okay, it's a good question. It's a good question to ask. Let's go to my next verse. Okay, I wonder who is watching on Wednesday. It's time for a fact check from good old MWD. Fake news. Okay, I had to admit something. All right, I have to admit something. I got a little fake news going out there on Wednesday. What did I say that wasn't true? Does anybody think that this is in the Bible? Does anybody think this is the following statement is in the Bible? Neither a borrower nor a lender be. I said that on Wednesday. I went off on a tangent about it. Does anybody think that's in the Bible? Anybody at all? Well, let me tell you something. It is not. Fact check. It is not in the Bible. That is not what Jesus said. It's not what God said. It's not what the scripture says. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Now, you know who said it? I'll tell you who said it. Good old Bill Shakespeare. That's right. That's right. Good old Bill said, from the soliloquy by Polonius in Act 1, Scene 3 of William Shakespeare's Hamlet. Polonius is giving advice to his son, Laertes, before Laertes heads back to school. So in essence, there is some things to be taken. Let's take some notes now. Are you ready to take some notes about what it actually says about borrowing and lending? Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1. Now, before I read this, I want you to understand, I don't understand the context of how things change from the have changed in this regard from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I don't get it. But let me read it, and so then you'll understand, well, yeah, I don't know how things work now with the way that we should be following this, that, and the other, okay? At the end of, let me also add, when people say the word Torah, which is in several different religions, they're talking about the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So this is in the Torah. Deuteronomy 15, verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done, : every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for canceling debt has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelite owes you. Now, is this a reason that Jews are so successful? An Israelite, that's a Jew, right? Jewish. Is this the reason, one of the reasons? Hey. And so, what can we learn as Americans or as Christians, right? As somebody in a group? We can learn a lot Wake up, people. Wake up, people. However, there need be no poor people among you. Now, just imagine if we could solve, right, poverty and homelessness. And I told you I was going to talk about this. I think I told you on Monday. It's time to do it right now. So I am going right now to this amazing page that I stumbled upon, and it's called The Religion Business. Folks, this is going to drop so hot because they just kind of opened up and started doing all these amazing little videos. On Twitter, it's Religion Biz, okay? And it's a 7-part docuseries that's coming out in the fall of this year. I will be watching it one way or another. I will find a way, and I will lead you guys to that. But it's shedding light on some of the most influential religious institutions in the world. And it's basically, like I was talking about numbers, these people have got the figures, and it's all like I love. It's all just don't give me the hyperbole, just give me the facts, give me the numbers, and show me how it's relevant, right? And they have done the figures of the money that's being poured into the churches and how, and then they, I'm telling you, it's fantastic and it's jaw-dropping how they have done the numbers. They figured out all these levels of who's getting paid what by those donations and tithes. And then they basically said we could solve these incredible problems with that much money. We could solve these incredible problems that are plaguing, but there's so much. What do you think there is? What do you think there is? Theft in the church, and so much paying for things that don't have anything involved with helping somebody. Paying basically someone's mortgage, right? A staff of 50 people that are on the church payroll. You understand? Even now, after so many people have left the church, yes, those numbers still exist. So anyway, can't wait. But there need be no poor people among you. That is what they're saying. So it's like, it is your job. This is what this verse is saying. It is your job. It is our job as people to completely eradicate poverty. I've always thought, why in the world here in America? Why? I thought the church, even from a boy growing up and learning the scripture, then understanding our government, and I would go to school and I would say, that's not the responsibility of the government. That's the responsibility of the church. The church is supposed to be taking care of the poor. The church is supposed to be taking care of homeless. And then you scratch your head and wonder why a church building is empty for 6 days out of the week or 5 days out of the week. Why is the church completely empty? No one's going in there to pray. Why is it completely? I don't know. I know that maybe that doesn't, but you don't want a bunch of homeless people in the sanctuary, but you've got like these buildings with Sunday school classes and multiple floors, and you just sit there and go, wow, that is kind of, you know, I remember just as a kid growing up and just viscerally going, man, just like in your veins going, no, it's kind of musty in here. I guess it would be if no one was here for 5 days out of the week. And you just scratch your head and go, does that make sense? Keep continuing here in Deuteronomy 15. Verse 4, I'll read it one more time. However, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. Verse 5, if only you fully obey the Lord your God and be careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. Verse 6, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Oh, what do you think? Like, serious, this is fantastic. What an edict. Just imagine if that was in our Constitution, straight up. You will lend to as many people as you want, but you will not borrow from anyone. Because what does that do? It creates interest payments, like our national debt. Wow. It's absurd how bad the government runs things. We already know this. And I think mentioned maybe even this week on Twitter, even Elon Musk would say, you know, he would say, I'm not saying it's golden thoughts and ideas, but he said it's kind of a proven fact that the private sector can run something 10 times better than any government agency doing the same exact work. Verse 7, if anyone is poor among you, among your fellow Israelites, again, let's have a team here, okay, of like, right, we are a people. Let's stick together, kind of like they had to stick together when they were enslaved by Egypt and the Pharaoh, right?
If anyone is poor among you, your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Meaning like, oh, I'm going to squeeze the money out of you. Okay? Be gentle and soft. Well, verse 8, rather be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Verse 9, be careful not to harbor this wicked thought, quote, the seventh year, the year for canceling debts is near, unquote, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. And that's an interesting thought, like you would be counting the years or counting the days before your debt is forgiven or before you have to forgive your debt. And then that would cause all kinds of great anxiety from the lender to pressure you to pay up quickly before the 7 years is up, or vice versa, as the lendee asking or not trying to pay. Goes both ways. Very interesting there. We're going to keep going on Deuteronomy 15. They may then appeal to the Lord against you. Meaning like, I guess in prayer, that person that you're persecuting before the seventh year is up, they may appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. That's wonderful. That's a blessing. Verse 11, there will always be poor people in the land. That's interesting too. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. And that just brings up a good point. Let's just be honest. Can we just be fair about giving, right? What does giving do? San Francisco. Tell us, San Francisco, what does giving do? Giving free stuff. Chicago, tell us what free stuff does for people. Oh, America, tell us what free stuff. What does it do? It gets people hooked. It gets people hooked on the free stuff. Did you know I can just be a nobody and I can still live like pretty good? I mean, I got to go down here and get my check. I can live pretty good because it's just free. And I just tell them whatever. They get lots of free stuff. I got lots of kids and I'm single. No man in the house. Oh, man. So they get hooked on this nonsense. It's low IQ. Total low IQ people. Any race, just total stupidity. But this is what you do. You get them hooked. And I don't think that's what the essence of this verse is. And so that's what happens sometimes. You got to be very careful about giving. And so when I say solve poverty or homelessness. I don't know how to square it. You know, someone a lot smarter than me can do that. But I just know with a couple of extra variables in mind, like, for example, we're throwing away, like I just showed you on Twitter, we're throwing away or we're blowing, we're blowing all this extra money from donations and tithes, which, again, is going to be a mini series coming out this fall. And I'm going to learn all about it, right? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. I'm going to share them with you too. I'm going to take lots of notes. All right. So, but again, I'm not going to try to solve it all. I'm just saying that what could we do? This is what we're supposed to be doing, taking care of our brethren of any color or race. I know that this is for the Israelites, but what if we could do that for America? And if you wanted to break it down just in case there's happens to be a little, seceding going on or secession. Yeah. Maybe just becoming our own state again and let us pay our own bills. We don't need the federal government if there's any secession. Now, it sounds wild, but that is down the pipe, folks. That's coming down the pipe because people aren't going to take it anymore. Certain states are going to go, oh, yeah. My constituency, we're ready right now. We're gonna secede. We're gonna pay our own bills, and you can take your $60 billion for Ukraine, and you can pay for it. But that maybe it would be let's just take care of our state, and then maybe beyond that, it would be let's just take care of our community. I don't know. The crazies are running the asylum for sure. Let's get to the next verse. Ooh, okay. So this is good. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is anybody out there just like wishing for me that please mention 1 Corinthians chapter 10 because it's about to get good in here. Are you ready for it to get real good? Let's see how good it can get. Verse 1, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. What's he talking about? Under the cloud and passing through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Stopping right there after verse 2. I believe he's talking about our ancestors that have followed God, you know, and they did that prior to Jesus. He's talking about prior to Jesus. This is Paul talking, but prior to Jesus, what happened, right? You had all these people. Are they not going to heaven? They didn't have Jesus to die on the cross for them. And so what he's saying is these people who follow God and follow Jesus, they passed through and they were given the benefit because they followed God. And I guess there were people like Elijah. What are they? Prophets is what they were. Prophets. Talking about the future, prophesying, right? Verse 3, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. So he's saying Christ was there, because Christ has been here, even though he hadn't come down, but he has been with God and the Holy Spirit, the three. You remember the triune God. They've been together since Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, and that word is a three-person God. That word, that Hebrew word, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. That's interesting. Wasn't pleased with them, but he let them pass. Why was he not pleased with them? Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Not really sure why he wasn't pleased with them. Maybe we'll get some, I think the next verse. Maybe. We'll see. Verse 6. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Ooh. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, quote, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. unquote. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 10. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. We're getting to where I want to be in regards to the Lord's Prayer. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And this is going into the back to the Lord's Prayer. Okay, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that handles that right there, baby. That handles it. He's going to deliver us from evil. Awesome. You ever been in a situation where you can actually see that God is providing you a way out of this sin? Maybe a last second thing. You see a friend over here and go, hey guys, I'm not going with y'all. I'm going to go over here with my friend. He just showed up miraculously. And you know, or maybe a phone call. The peer pressure of something that's going wrong, going bad. And you go, I got to get out of this situation before I'm caught up in this thing that's about to happen. And then once I'm involved and once I'm in there and I'm sitting here going, and now I'm right in the middle of this sin. But this happens as adults too, not just peer pressure from kids, right? God provides a way out. Stand up, be strong, get a backbone, right? Okay, we are back on the same 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. Oh, man. I mean, here's the picture that Paul is painting, and really the whole Bible. And it's so easy to just go, oh, he didn't mean it that much. Like, I'm not supposed to follow him that much. Am I supposed to follow him that much? Come on, Mark. I mean, I want to follow him, but I mean, what you talking about? Okay. Because the picture is starting to be painted really, really clearly. He wants everything. If you're drinking of the cup of the demons at all, it says right here. I mean, you want to see it? It's right here. Look, get your Bible out and look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Okay, I'm just saying. And then you, like I said, you start to realize, what is he wanting from me? Everything. He wants what he gave you. Everything. Verse 22. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? By the way, if you're not Christian and you're still having this battle, God's not jealous of you. Okay. You think you're a Christian. You say you're a Christian. Nothing about your life resembles that supposed fact. And you're over here toying with the idea of, should I give him more in my life? Oh, I don't think I can. But I'll try. I'll give him just a little bit more. He's not even worried about it because he's not... You have a fake mindset of what he's jealous about. He's not even thinking of you. But it just depends, right? How much, you know, if you're not his, right? If you're not his, and how do we know if we're his or not? Is it because of all the things we say out of our mouth? Oh, but I said, and I told her I was praying for, and I told, right? And I went to church 3 times a week. But where's your fruit, right? Where's your fruit? You will know them by their fruit, right? You know them by the things that the Bible is telling you, you'll know them by. But all the things that you just say, just empty words, ah, blah, 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 you're just talking. And where's the action of serving God? Oh. Okay, so here we go, and... Again, last verse, if I said it, are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? No, we are not. We are not stronger than he. 1 Corinthians 10:23, quote, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. Quote, I have the right to do anything, unquote, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. What? Wait a second, Paul. You're saying I can't, I'm not supposed to seek my own good? No, you seek the good of others. And guess what happens as a benefit to that? As a benefit to you helping others, that's how you get benefited. Okay. Our brains are broken in the West. What can I tell you if you don't understand this? Okay. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. We're going to get into another verse now, a different passage. Matthew chapter 18. And I'm just going to read it and then I'll connect it with the Bible verse, which is the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 18:23, quote, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Settle accounts. Ooh. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Do not forget that part of the story. He canceled the debt and let him go. We're going to come back to that in a minute. This will blow your mind, right? This is Jesus telling a parable, right? Or a story. Next verse. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Matthew 18:32, next verse. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. So that's what I was saying, to remember that part, right? Because he had canceled the debt, but now he uncanceled the cancellation. Okay. I don't know if that's, I mean, it's biblical, but is that, that's a strange thing, right? We're not used to that. That's what he did. This is Jesus, right? Next verse. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now, listen to what I'm telling you. According to this very example, he's going to unforgive the initial forgiveness. Are you listening? He's going to unforgive the initial forgiveness unless you forgive those that owe you. This is wild. Doesn't work out the way you thought it was. All legalese did it. The legalese just broke your brain right there. Okay. Mine too. Okay. Philippians 2. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that is why I brought that in there. One of the most amazing verses of the scripture, Philippians 2, 9, 10, and 11. Because at the very end, what do we say? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Isn't that neat that I've got that on the button there, and it happens to be the song of the week? How about that? Do we have more? Yeah, I have a little bit more. Okay. Oh, I think we're going to get into some good stuff, because Acts 20 is about to break it down for y'all in a way that I wasn't expecting. I'm doing research for the show, trying to get the verses for the elements of the Lord's Prayer. And all of a sudden, what do? I stumble upon one of the greatest example verses of why you are not allowed as a Christian, right, to make money regarding salvation and discipleship and everything that encompasses that. You are not allowed. Are you ready? Put the seatbelt on. Make sure you hear the click, because here we go. And I want you to, while I'm saying this, I want you to meditate on all of the crazy ways in this world that people are making money on salvation and discipleship, even in your church. You ready for this? Acts 20, you got a Bible. Come on, get it out. Verse 32. Now, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. Now, I believe Paul is about to leave a certain group of Christians. He's about to leave their presence here at 20. Yeah, he's about to say bye-bye to a group of Christians. And he says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And cutting in here, fixing to go to the next verse. But this is Paul visiting different churches, right? Visiting people and sharing the word. And he's doing two things on his journeys, right? He's saving people, salvation. That means giving your life to Jesus. And what is the second thing? He's discipling those that have already done so. So this is a discipleship, right? Effort for the sheep and the people that he's leaving behind and the leaders that are going to lead those sheep, right? Verse 33, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. Whether it was Timothy hanging out with Paul or Barnabas or Titus maybe hanging out with Paul, his companions, Thaddeus, some of these, right? I was going to say there was good pop quiz and I've already forgot it. Matthias, I think he took the Judas Iscariot spot as the 12th disciple. Matthias, you'll have to, guess how, can anybody guess? This is like a Bible quiz tonight. I did not remember this. Guess how Matthias got to be the 12th disciple. What if I told you in a game of craps or whatever they call it? Lots, they drew lots, which is like a game of chance. Okay, how do you like that? True story. Now, you yourselves know, I'm going to just that last verse again, that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. Verse 35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of Lord Jesus himself said, quote, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So he's saying to the leaders and the sheep, this is how it's done for free with the hard work of you, not sucking off the backs of the people underneath you. And then what does the church and the Catholic Church do to set the example? Let's get that money rolling in. We got to build this Vatican over here. Okay. Next verse. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship where he was leaving. Okay? Crazy! We made it through. Had to put that in there because I'm like, okay, we got a good one here. So maybe in a great, wonderful way, this breakdown of the Lord's Prayer will help you kind of ignite your passion for what it is you're asking and talking to God about. So I'm just going to recap. We start out with our Father. And that's acknowledging that he is our Lord. We have no other master. And what does that make us? That makes us his servant. Yes, we're his sheep, but we are for his pleasure. And what does he want? What is pleasureful to him? He wants us to go and preach the gospel to every creature and do so by living on faith. We say, our Father who art in heaven, you are in heaven. We acknowledge that he rose from the dead. Right there, we're saying that he rose from the dead. You are in heaven now. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be your name. That your kingdom come, right? Your kingdom come. Meaning we want your kingdom to come. We're waiting for your kingdom to come. And we are preparing for your kingdom to come. Both by keeping this holy temple pure, and we're teaching our children purity, and we're teaching our neighbors purity, and we're keeping ourselves discipled as a group. We're not islands, ignoring the fact that we have a Christian across the street. Hello. Does that mean we should get in their business a little bit? I think it does. Heck yeah. Called discipleship. Called being my brother's keeper. Helping them in their need, but also helping them in their need when it's the other need, when they need to be told, no, that's not scriptural. Why do you think Paul was visiting these people? He was telling them no, yes, no, 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 yes, yes, yes. He was telling them, he was keeping them discipled. Whew. People act like discipleship is only supposed to be done by the preacher. Just so wrong, and that's part of the problem with America and the world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your will, not my will, on earth as it is in heaven. So his will is being done in heaven. His will should be done here on this earth. Give us this day. So give us a day. Give us another day of life. Like, we're not sitting here. We're saying thy kingdom come. But we're not sitting here like, please, we don't want to live another day. Please, kingdom come. Bring the kingdom now. We don't want to live. No, the next line there is give us this day. Give us another day. We want another day of life so we can serve you. And somehow, maybe today's the day that my flower is going to bloom. Right? It's just like, we're watering this. Let's just, maybe it'll flower. For me, it happened late in life because of my music and the opportunity to even be live like this, right? Give us this day our daily bread. So we're trusting each day for that manna. And forgive us our trespasses. So we're going to ask him to forgive us because we're not perfect, but we all also forgiving those who trespass against us. Forgiving, in what he said in the Bible there, is very clear. Complete forgiveness, not forgetting. So you don't get duped twice. If you're getting duped 3, 4, 5, 10 times, yeah, that's a sin too, because you're dope. No, you stop that. You don't let people walk on you more than once. You learn your lesson like any normal person would. And we forgive, but we don't forget. Lead us not to temptation. So we're asking him, don't lead us down that road. It's weird that we have to ask God for that. I'm up to the end of time. I won't understand it until I get to heaven. But we're asking him not to lead us into temptation. Push us the other way. And so if we're going to ask him not to lead us into temptation, we better be listening, because he's probably screaming to the top of his lungs, go this way. Listen to reality. Why are you continuously asking me to lead you out of temptation? I keep pointing this direction and you keep doing the exact opposite. Slap your mama. There's a great, if you go to Walmart in the spice column, there's a great little shaker of spice. What do you call it? I don't know. Flavor, salty flavor called Slap Ya Mama. You're going to want to check it out. So lead us not into temptation. We're asking him not to lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And again, the same thing applies. He's trying to deliver you. Go this other way. And when I say this other way, I don't mean a tiny little 2-degree turn. He's talking about a U-turn, a complete 180. You're going in one direction. Now you need to go in the exact opposite direction. Deliver us from evil. If you're listening, you'll hear his voice. He will say, he will show you clearly. But if you don't have time to meditate and take a break and go, when have I taken a break? When have I had time to meditate in just complete silence and listen to his will and pray for hours, and then add up the hour. Just pray and pray and pray for him to show you that one of the best things I ever did in my life, I'm going to break this down for you, was I started to write out my anger and my hurt and my pain. Write it out. And I'm going to tell you, one of the best things, this wasn't even told to me, I just did it. It just made sense to me because I wanted to put all of this junk and real stuff, and kind of that's what I figured out. Once I started writing page after page after page, and I'm sitting here going, and it's all, luckily it was all digital on the computer, and I'm in a Word document, and I'm going, whoa, 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 it's just still coming out. And when I went back to edit, as I was continuing to write, I started going, No, this is just hurt. And this is just, it's pain and it's hurt, but it's not tangible. It's not feasible, so to speak. It doesn't land. It's just hurt and it's pain and it's misery, but it's not proving my point. It's not showing the facts of the case, what it is, right? And so I would delete a lot of that. And I brushed that. There's nothing wrong with having good feelings. But if the entire narrative that I'm typing out here for days and days and months, if it's just all hurt feelings without pointing out something that was done that is wrong, actual, factual, on the ground, boots on the ground, reality. But if you're thinking about therapy or in therapy, I beg you to start writing it down. When I started doing this show, I'm not writing it, but I'm saying it. All of a sudden, things are starting to become clear. Let me tell you something for example. All of a sudden, and I haven't really understood what this means, but let me tell you what's happening right now in my spiritual life, trying to discover something that has been laid at my feet, and it so permeates every church in America. You ready? 501c3. What does that have to do with anything, Mark? You're not supposed to talk about that. You don't even know what you're talking about. Well, it's really easy. You go to Google and you put in 501c3 church agreements or obligations. And you will find that in order to be tax-free, you must not talk about legislation. Wait a second. Let me wrap my head around this. So that's where I'm at. I'm in real time, because of the fact that I wanted to stop my regular life of some of it being nonsense, some of it nonsense, just filling up the hours that I'm doing this now, right? Filling it up with other nonsense. I'm now in a spot where I can really become a think tank with these shows, think tank. I'm thinking and I'm going, wait a second. You're telling me, which, let's just get real, legislation is everything in our world, the Christian world. Why would you not be able to tell your parishioners that something that is totally against, or someone that's running, that's totally against our values? You don't think we should warn our parishioners about that? Your mouth is zipped. Your lips are sealed. Little things like this, just to kind of go off on the rabbit trail, that's where I'm at right now. And I'm sitting here going, that changes everything when it comes to the church, which is not a building. It's you and a group of people. The church saying, to heck with that. If you're gonna bribe me with a third of the income, which is the tithe money and the donations, if you're going to bribe me, government, by keeping my mouth shut, you can have your money back. I'm not going to file for anything. I'll just pay taxes and say what I want to say. But this is the part. It's just such a wonderful thing to be able to go back and go, like I said, as far as therapy goes, to just open up and just look back and go. And then when you write it all out and you have the receipt, so to speak, where your mind just regurgitated all of the stuff about your life, the hurt, the pain, the happiness, the things that actually happened, the timeline, so to speak. And you can sit there and say, my God, it's not just in my head. It's not just in my mind. This is real. This lands. This has a grit, a sandpaper grit that'll take your skin off. Right? And that's what I'm saying with the 501c3. And that's what I'm saying with the things that I've come up with that will help the church, that will completely heal the church. But sitting back waiting for, like I said, the business meeting to come to order. We've decided in this business meeting at this church that we're going to, let me see, we're going to reform. And we are going to reform big time. We're going to take away all of this nonsense that's going on in the church. We're going to stop becoming 501c3. So that kind of thing. They're not going to do that. And I said this on Twitter and I replied to somebody, but I actually want to challenge anybody. Reformation. When people talk about, people are leaving the church in droves, right? I think they call it unchurching maybe. It's like a term. People are leaving the church in droves. I wonder why. Well, it's not because of the church thing. It's more simple than that. It's not because the people are sick of and tired of the leadership never changing, never reforming, never, you know, coming to terms with the fact that this is Christianity light. No, it's not that. It's just that they just got out of the habit, Mark. That's why. So we don't need to change. These are just bum Christians who got out of the habit. And what we need to do is we're gonna put together a campaign to get them to come back to church, because it's really just that simple. You know, COVID thing happened, and you know, yeah, they're unchurching or whatever the term is. Yeah, they've unchurched. They got out of the habit, but they're willing to come back. I believe it's not that at all. I believe that people are ready for the truth, the reality of, let's get this sin out of here. Let's start talking reality about things that are happening in our schools, things that are happening that are sexually immoral in our country. No, oh, I'm sorry. We could do a lot, but we can't talk about that in the pulpit. So we're back to the 501c3 thing. Again, scales can start to lift when you give God the time. But if you're just listening to the same old thing and you're just like, am I being gaslit here by my church? No, you get out of my head, Mark. You can't be right. No, whoa. You're saying that I've been gaslit? I'm not saying it. I'm coming to those conclusions in real time. I'm coming to those conclusions in real time. I didn't start this show to come to that conclusion. This is wild for me in real time. I'm sitting here going, and this is because I started taking the time to unpack this stuff. And just read the scripture. It's just right there. Just read the scripture and unpack it myself. It's so simple to read, y'all. I love it. I am on fire tonight. And I'm so thankful that I am. I'm so thankful that I am. Okay, good. It's time for a five-song concert. Did you get something out of that? Say, whoop, whoop. It's time for a five-song concert. One, a two, a three, a four, and five. Guess what? I get to sing. Friday's always good because I get to do my latest songs. The last five are my latest songs, which will be Start With One Lifetime. Let's pop over here, and let's go back to number 9. There we are. There we are. One Lifetime. We're going to do One Lifetime. We're going to have some fun with that. Got to find the right guitar so I can sing it without being too low on the vocals or too high on the vocals. That's why I have so many different guitars. Not trying to be cool or anything. Just making sure that my voice, my little voice here, can sing it. Keep in mind, if I haven't, you know, I've said this already, but please keep in mind, folks, I am not some kind of a American Idol. I am a songwriter. Okay? You ever met Carole King? You ever heard, hey, this is a good one. Have you ever heard Diane Warren sing a bar? Most of you don't even know who Diane Warren is. Have you ever heard her sing a bar? Yet she's responsible for writing some of the greatest hits in this world. And she's one of my idols, of course, because that's what you call songwriting. Everybody's lined up, ready to, they're chomping, they're drooling, trying to get her to write a song and give it to them. That's how good Diane Warren is. And so that's what I am. I'm just singing, and hopefully some of these will get in your head and you'll start singing them. All right, here we go. Let's hit this reverb and have some fun tonight with One Lifetime. Pray for my voice as usual. One lifetime. Choosing to give, choosing to live. One Savior, He is alive. Oh yeah, He cannot lie. When all has come and gone, there is no fear. He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to Him if you want to live, live. On this rock I stand, while I'm digging in the dirt, let's all clap our hands. And nobody gets hurt. The physiology of the church is not the steeple. It's the people. And sow and reap for one lifetime. Choosing to give, choosing to live. One Savior, He is alive. He cannot lie. When all has come and gone, there is no fear. He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to Him if you want to live. Live. Buy. Sell. Take freedom and make it wealth. Brother, love has lingo and B-I-N-G-O for the steeple, but not lost people. Oh, one lifetime, choosing to give, choosing to live. One Savior, He is alive, He cannot lie. When all has come and gone, there is no fear, He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to Him if you want to live. Ba-da-bum, bum, ba-da-bum, bum, ba-da-bum, bum. Na 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 na, ba da ba, ba da ba, ba. Na 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 na, ba da ba, ba. Na 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 na, ba da ba, ba. Ba da ba, ba. Choosing to give, choosing to live. Just one Savior, He is alive, He cannot lie. When all has come and gone, there is no fear, He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to Him if you want, if you want, if you want. Oh, come on and live. Do you want to live? 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 Ba-da-ba. Do you want to live? Ba-da-ba. Do you want to live? Ba-da-ba. Do you want to live? Do you want to live? Choosing to give, choosing to live. Just one Savior, He is a light, He cannot lie. Oh, when all has come and gone, there is no fear, He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to Him. If you want to live, if you want to live, come on and live.
Hey, that's a good one to get started on. Ooh, we like it. We gotta switch guitars. I wrote that such a long time ago and finished it. I finished it up here. Oh, what a finished song. Such a great thing that I just loved singing that song round and round. And then I finally finished it. Love that. We got a little 1, 2, 3, 4. Give me 1 second to clear my throat. The bad wolf is at the door, trying to make you think you're alone, and that's what makes you weak. Well, I want you to know the lie is where He makes His home. Just call upon My name and I will come. Hear My child, I won't let you fall. You're not alone. You're not alone. 1, 2, 3, 4. Leave all your troubles at the door and tell me of a place that you want to run to. 'Cause I want to take you where the sun shines bright, and I'll be there to hold you in My arms forever. Tried everything you know for happiness and peace, but the voices in your head are hard to cease. The Lord says in Him we have redemption through the blood He shed. The peace of God is waiting. Hear what He says. Saying, hear My child, I won't let you fall. You're not alone. No, you're not alone. 1, 2, 3, 4. Leave all your troubles at the door and tell me of a place that you want to run to. 'Cause I want to take you where the sun shines bright, and I'll be there to hold you in My arms forever. In My arms, in My arms, in My arms forever. Whatever the weather.
for. Leave all your troubles at the door. Tell me of a place that you wanna run to, 'cause I wanna take you where the sun shines bright and I'll be there to hold you in my arms forever. Forever. Somebody is getting, woo, somebody's getting, having a good time. Ah, could it be me? Two down, three to go. Let's switch guitars. We on there? Yeah, good. Palm of your hand. Palm of your hand. Man, having a good Friday. Such a good Friday. Praise God. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. He is waiting to hear from you. Hold me in the palm your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. What do you have to give? Have you any faith? That his words will not return void. You know he's waiting, so patiently waiting for you. Hold me in the palm of your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Just like sheep in the fold, don't know which way to go. Ooh, to be complete, yet so unique. He just wants to hear you say,
your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong, so, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Hold me in the palm of your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Changing me for the world to see. Changing me for the world to see.
He's gonna do it. He's gonna change me. He's gonna work with me. He's gonna mold me like potter's clay. We got two more fun sinner's prayer coming up. Oh, the sinner's prayer. Did I get it right? Making sure, sinner's prayer. Are you ready to give your life to Jesus tonight? You don't know where to start? Sing this song with me and mean it from the bottom of your heart. And let's see if God starts to change in your life. We'll start over. I am lost as lost can be, in need of a Savior. So please forgive me, 'cause I am a sinner. Oh Lord, I need you.
Jesus.
give my life to you. 'Cause I was lost as lost could be, in need of a savior. And you forgave me and made me a Christian. Oh Lord, I love you. Oh Lord, I love you. Amen. Somebody said amen. Okay. Now it's time for the fifth song of Friday's drum roll. And guess what? That would mean that this was last week's Song of the Week, which is, by the way, available for demo download right now on amwdhq.com. Go down there and download that thing. You can also download these lyric pages. I've got all the PNG downloads for the lyrics as well, for the released songs, actually, I think, just those. Okay, slow down. Are you ready to slow down? Here we go. Oh, I gotta do it right. I'm gonna start over. No, again. I need to stop thinking. I'm thinking too hard. Close my eyes. Someone who runs in every direction, you sure seem sure of yourself. Kinda like a cannonball, just a very arranged mess, and that's a fact. You kinda remind me of me, and the funny thing is that's how I used to be. If we could slow down, slow down, slow down. Slow down, slow down, slow down. Here's a toast from yours truly. You've done everything in the world. Just about a half a mile turn right, and you have arrived. You kind of remind me of me before I felt my knees where I need to be. If we could slow down, slow down, slow down. If we could slow down, slow down, 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 slow down.
walking in the wrong direction. You're not alone. The gate is wide for this deception. Follow along. Your neighbor's fault won't be protection from right and wrong. Slow down. There's a box blaring nothing and a book in a corner. A thought for the family a long time ago. There's a moment you missed just a second ago. It was yours to have with you. And you're not giving nothing when the well is empty and you're not thirsty. What you're missing is there in the dead of silence. Put your hand to your chest and feel the beat. You have been made complete, and every breath to breathe for you, for me, is a gift to pray, a name to praise, a seed to preach. Slow down, slow down. If we could slow down, slow down. If we could slow down, slow down. Yes, we made it. Five-song concert is going, and it's gone. Gone. How are we doing out there? All right, let's see where I'm at here so I can see some of this. Okay, here we go. Now, let's see, where are we going? Here we go. Want to learn more about this show? Check out the description or visit my website, mwdhq.com. Download free demos of each song of the week and email me from the Connect page. Subscribe to this channel and turn on the notifications. Join me as I prep you for church and explore the significant meanings of salvation and discipleship. Become a Christian. Begin to walk the talk. Strengthen your walk with God. Get inspired by what I'm saying. Pass it on as you begin to challenge your friends and family with your words and actions. Become a better husband, wife, son, daughter, father, mother, granddad, grandmother, neighbor, friend, leader, and follower, and garbage man, or whatever you are, okay? I have two questions for you tonight. Number one, what is that specific thing that God has called you to do, both regarding your life's purpose and this very day? That's for you to answer. What could that be? The purpose of my life. Do I know that? Or is it just complete and total me? You know, we were reading Paul tonight. That's what Paul was he was against Christianity. He was against Jesus. He was against the Jews. He wanted to treat them bad. And then what did God do? He turned Saul to Paul, didn't he? Put a stop to that. His biggest persecutor turned. Have you passed it forward today by challenging and encouraging someone else? On Monday show, I offered statements you could share with someone. Wednesday, I offered questions to ask yourself. Today, I offered declarative statements that could empower your thoughts and motivations as to fulfill God's calling in your life. Let's take a listen to some of them. Declarative statements that you could say that could empower your thoughts and motivations. Here we go. I can be content through plenty and hunger, through Christ who gives me strength. God's calling me to help others. I will obey. I will take time to pray. Away from all distractions. Preferably on those knees. You know what I missed today? I think I did miss it. Hang on. I did find some stuff, but I knew it's too late. But the knees thing. I did find stuff. I didn't have it ready, but there are so many verses about being on the knees. Maybe I'll hit that up next week. Being on those knees, very important. I will be open and humble to constructive criticism, understanding this conviction might be coming from the Holy Spirit in hopes that I can be a better vessel as I work out God's plan for me. I will admit my wrongs to my fellow man before I'm confronted. I will amend my wrongs to the best of my abilities with an immediate desire. I will hold my tongue from heaving unnecessary nonsense, hurt, and gossip. Today I forgive myself so that I can move forward with God's plan for me. Today, I accept myself for who I am, loving who God made me, every facet, the real me, and I pledge to take care of this holy temple. God loves me. God is patiently waiting for me. God has a life purpose for me. God has a daily purpose for me. All right, let me flip this just so I can see it. Yeah, next week. Ooh, it ain't going to stop sizzling for next week's Song of the Week. I got news for you. They are just I'm popping out the hits. I tell you, one of my best. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining my church prep family. Of course, before I get to that one, what am I talking about? I will see you Sunday because that's when I'm unveiling this week's Song of the Week. That's just a little prep for after Sunday. But yes, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern for a 15-song church prep concert. My number 15 will be my first performance of the Lord's Prayer, my Song of the Week. To God be the glory.
All I could do.